Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. On the evening of the Passover, Jesus had been arrested. He was then bound, led away to Annas, and from there to Caiaphas, the high priest. In Matthew 26:57, we see where the scribes and the elders were assembled, which is the Sanhedrin. From verse 59 in chapter 26, we see that these of the Sanhedrin were fixated on putting Jesus to death, so much so that they sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. So Jesus stands before them. They went from seeking false witnesses, they couldn't find any, to declaring in verse 65 and 66 of Matthew 26, we don't need any witnesses. This man is guilty. He's guilty of blasphemy. And then we read in verse 67 of Matthew 26 that in their rage they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. That all took place in the evening of the Passover. Coming to chapter 27, it is now morning. When the morning was come, we read in verse 1. And again, the Sanhedrin are absolutely intent on putting Jesus to death. In verse 2, they bound him and lead him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pilate questions Jesus concerning who he was, and in doing so, he came to the opinion that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction. So he sends Jesus to Herod, who also proceeded to question Jesus, and he found no fault in him. So he sent him back to Pilate. So he's now before Pilate for the second time. And that brings us to our text. Begin reading in verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. In other words, he knew Jesus was innocent. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? She also realized that he was innocent. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. God troubled her in her sleep. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas, that is, set him free, and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. He wasn't. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and our children. They're still paying for that today, by the way. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Pilate, believing that Christ was innocent and that the Sanhedrin had trumped up charges against him, Pilate desires to set Christ free. But he desires to do so in a way that would appease the people. So Pilate refers to a custom, the releasing of a prisoner during the Passover. This practice certainly would illustrate what happened on that first Passover night, the liberation of a people worthy of death. Since some prisoner could be set free, Pilate thinks, this is my opportunity of allowing the innocent Christ to go free. At this time, there were several prisoners. There were the two thieves who were crucified. There was also a man by the name of Barabbas. And from Mark 15 and verse 7, we read that there were others imprisoned with him. That is, Barabbas. But concerning this man Barabbas, we're told in our text, verse 16, that he was a notable prisoner. In other words, he was notorious. He was famed. He was very well known for his crimes. Of all the prisoners being held at that time, he was the most well known for his crimes. And with Barabbas being such a wicked criminal, Pilate thought for certain the people would choose to set Barabbas free or Christ free to the crucifixion of Barabbas. He's figuring there's no way. There's no way that they would allow such a man as Barabbas to go free. We read in verse 17, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release, Barabbas or Jesus? He could have chosen other prisoners to give them the choice, but he chose Barabbas. Because again, Barabbas was the most notorious for his crimes. And he just knew in his mind, there's no way they're going to let Barabbas go free. No way. So then he would be able to release Jesus. But in verse 20, we read that the chief priests and the elders, that's at Sanhedrin, persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas. That is, they should ask for the release of Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21, the people choose that Barabbas be released. Verse 22, they declare that they want Christ crucified. Pilate can hardly believe what he's hearing. So he makes the offer a second time. And in verse 23, their cry for Christ to be crucified becomes more forceful. And then in verse 26, we read that Barabbas was released and Jesus was delivered to be crucified. Barabbas released and Christ crucified. In other words, Christ and Barabbas have switched places. Again, read verse 26. They released Barabbas and delivered Christ to be crucified. And that in the place of Barabbas. So what we have here is a story of substitution. That's our subject. Christ in the place of Barabbas. Christ in the place of Barabbas. Now, what we read for our text is a part of the crucifixion narrative. It is recorded by all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each of these four mention Barabbas. No one leaves him out of the story. No one leaves him out of the account. He is mentioned by name in all four gospel accounts. That alone makes him very significant in the crucifixion narrative. Really, the narrative is not complete without the mention of this man, Barabbas. Again, he's mentioned by name in all four accounts. You consider the fact that of all the recorded miracles of Christ, only the feeding of well over 5,000 are mentioned by all four gospel writers. The only miracle of the recorded miracles of Christ mentioned by all four gospel writers is that one. And then you consider really surprisingly few incidents of Christ's earthly ministry are mentioned by all four gospel writers. All four gospel writers record the crucifixion of Christ. And again, all four name Barabbas in their account. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of them fail to mention Barabbas. Now, Barabbas appears in Scripture with really no recorded pedigree. There's no introduction. All of a sudden, he's just there. Yet he has a very significant role in the crucifixion. And therefore, he is a very important biblical character. The name Barabbas simply means son of a father. That's true of every male. Son of a father. Or it can mean his father's son. In Barabbas, we see ourselves as the sons of our father, Adam. That's true of everyone sitting here. We are the children of Adam. For those who are saved, we are also the sons of our Father, God. So Barabbas, son of a father, is a flesh and blood symbol of everyone, whether in Adam or to the redeemed, the sons of God. In our text, we see Jesus. He's innocent. We see Barabbas. He's guilty. We see Jesus is bound. Barabbas is set free. Jesus is cursed. And Barabbas is blessed. Jesus dies, and Barabbas lives. Barabbas is an illustration of the gospel. He is a picture of the gospel. He is a picture of the salvation experience. Jesus and Barabbas. What is before us here is a great wonder. Jesus and Barabbas. What is before us here is a marvelous picture of salvation that is in Christ. So we want to look at Barabbas. First of all, we want to see the sinner in Barabbas. Barabbas was a rebel. We read in Luke 23 and verse 19 that he was guilty of sedition. That is, he was guilty of rebellion and subversion and insurgents. He was a rebel. Mark 15 and 7 says that he made insurrection. He was a rebel. He was a rebel against authority. He lived in revolt against authority. All of this implies that he was proud. He was self-willed, he was steadfast, and he was persistent in his rebellion. Notice also, not only was he a rebel, but he was a murderer. Again in Mark 15 and verse 7, who had committed murder in the insurrection. That is, in his rebellion, he murdered. It's also declared in Luke 23, 19 that he was guilty of murder. Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 3, made reference to the fact, he didn't mention Barabbas by name, but he mentioned him as a murderer. He said there in Acts 3, verse 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." So Barabbas was a rebel. Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas also was a robber. It is declared in John 18 and verse 14 or verse 40. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now there's a difference between a robber and a thief in the Word of God. A thief is someone who steals, doesn't harm anyone physically, he just steals. A robber is someone who's violent. A robber, by violence, plunders people. That was Barabbas. So Barabbas was guilty. It's not a question of whether or not Barabbas was a rebel. He was guilty of rebellion. It's not a question of whether or not Barabbas was a murderer. He was guilty. It's not a question of whether or not he was a violent robber. The evidence was overwhelming. Barabbas is guilty. All evidence points to the fact that Barabbas is guilty. Now, as the sons of our father Adam, the evidence is overwhelming. We're guilty. And we see ourselves in Barabbas. The evidence is overwhelming. I mean, even without the Bible, you would have to be a fool to deny that all are sinners. You see it in a very young child, at a very young age. We are sinners. We are sinners by nature. And what do? Sinners sin. That's what they do. 1 John 3 verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 5 verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. So we see sin goes aside from what God has prescribed in His law. Everything that is contrary to what God has prescribed in His law is sin. Well, I don't see it that way. It doesn't matter how you see it. Whatever goes contrary to God's law is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. So sin is against that which is right. It opposes that which is right. It is disagreeable to God. People will say, well, so-and-so agrees with me. It really doesn't matter. Sin is disagreeable to God. It's anti-will to God's will. It is a reaction against God. Sin is a reaction against God. We are Barabbas. The evidence is overwhelming. We are sinners. We have rebelled against God. We have risen up against Him as an enemy. And we lived in resistance and opposition to God and defiance toward God, and we striving and contending against God. Sin is an aversion to God. And it is the most vile. It is the most filthy, the most wicked, the most despicable, the most reprehensible, most offensive and repulsive thing that there is. Sin. And the evidence shows we're guilty. We are sinners. And as sinners, we were separated. We were alienated. We were estranged from God in a godless and Christless state, bankrupt before God with nothing to plead. That's us. Then notice Barabbas in a prison cell. He was not only guilty of crimes, he was in the prison cell awaiting death. Again, Mark 15 and verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him. So there's this prison cell. There are several prisoners in there. But Barabbas is mentioned by name. Luke 23:19, it tells us that he was cast into prison. So Barabbas, because of his crimes, was in a place that he would not choose to be. He is in a place of gloom, a place of ruin. He's in a very confining and restricting place. And what's he doing? He's waiting. He's waiting for condemnation. Barabbas was scheduled to be crucified. That's his future. Crucifixion. He's in an inescapable place. He's going to be crucified. No way that he can escape, because he's guilty. We, like Barabbas, were guilty. We too were imprisoned in the depths, in the darkness, and the gloom, in the misery and the ruin of sin. There we were. And if you're without Christ, there you still are, under the just condemnation of God, helplessly trapped in the prison of sin, shackled, chained, in the grasp of death, Satan, and sin, held in the darkness and ignorance of sin, held in the enmity and the error and the bankruptcy and the guilt of sin. Just like Barabbas, in our sinful state, condemnation hung over our head. That was our future. That was our future. Condemnation. Then thirdly, notice a substitution was made for Barabbas. In this narrative, there is Barabbas and there is Jesus. Barabbas is a mere man. He's a mere man. Jesus is the very Son of God. There is Barabbas. He's the creature. There is Jesus. He's the creator. There is Barabbas. He's a criminal. And there is Jesus, the most precious, the most lovely, the most influential, the most important one who ever walked the earth. Barabbas is guilty. He's vile. He's wicked. Jesus, he's the innocent one. He's without sin. He's without fault. There is no flaw in him. There is no defect in him. There is no blemish. There is Barabbas. He is a rebel. And there is Jesus, the law-abiding one. There is Barabbas. Remember, he was a robber. He was a murderer. He hurt others. And there is Jesus. He helped others. There's no comparison between these two. There is Barabbas. He took from others. And there is Jesus. He gave to others. There is Barabbas. He destroyed lives. And there is Jesus, who saved lives. There is Barabbas. He's selfish. He's uncaring. He only lived for himself. And there is Jesus, who always lived for others. There was Barabbas. He's of no benefit to society. He's a rebel. He's a murderer. He's a robber. No benefit to society. He's a detriment to society. He's a drain upon society. And there was Jesus. He had healed their lepers with a touch, healed the crippled and the diseased, cast out devils from their sons and their daughters, raised up paralytics, given sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. On the other hand, is Barabbas. He has nothing to offer. Nothing to offer whatsoever. And there is Jesus, who is everything they need. So there they are. Barabbas and Christ. And we read in our text, verse 26, Barabbas was released. Barabbas was released. And Jesus was delivered to be crucified. That draws a picture of what the crucifixion means. There is Barabbas, imprisoned, chained, rebel, murderer, robber. He's in prison. He's guilty. He's unworthy. He's undeserving. He's condemned, deserving of the curse of the law. And there he is in his prison, awaiting his doom. Sadly, that's the life of the unsaved sinner, whether you realize it or not. But yet, Barabbas is released. And Jesus is delivered to be crucified. Oh, what a wonder. Jesus, rather than Barabbas, would go to the place of punishment, torture, and suffering. Jesus, not Barabbas, Jesus would go to the place of humility, indignity, and disgrace. Jesus, not Barabbas, would go to the place of curse. Jesus would go instead of Barabbas. The work of Christ was substitutionary. Notice in Isaiah 53, in verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. His work on the cross was substitutionary. Notice also Galatians 3 verse 13. He was made a curse for us. In our place. We were guilty. All the evidence declares we are guilty. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for, in the place of, the unjust. And the substitutionary nature of Christ's work upon the cross is illustrated in Barabbas. You and I that are saved, we see ourselves in Barabbas. We robbed God of His glory every day. We were seditious traitors against the government of heaven. But just like Barabbas, Christ took our cross. And by faith, we that are saved can see Jesus upon the cross. Look at Him. He's holy. He's spotless. He's pure. Yet He's in the place where criminals meet their doom. And He's there in my place. He's there in my place. And as you look at the details of the crucifixion, that should have been Barabbas. You see, Jesus led to Golgotha. That should have been Barabbas. You see, Jesus carrying the cross that I believe was intended for Barabbas. But Jesus is carrying that cross. You see, Jesus has the large Roman spikes are driven through his hands and feet. That should have been Barabbas. He's the guilty one. But Jesus was in his place. Again, they would lay that cross on the ground. They would nail the individual to the cross. And you watch as they lift that cross from the ground and thrust it into a hole. And all the bones come out of their socket. That should have been Barabbas. But it was Jesus. Jesus had taken his place. Which brings us to our fourth point, the release of Barabbas. Barabbas was on death row. Mark 15, verse 7. He's lying there. He's chained. And he's awaiting crucifixion. The future of Barabbas, as far as he knows, is crucifixion. His actions have sealed his fate. As he lies there in that prison chained, he is face to face with doom. The time was getting closer and closer. And Barabbas knew that the time was coming when he was going to be stretched out upon a cross, and that the nails were going to be driven through his hands and feet. Perhaps Barabbas was so hardened that he felt no fear. I doubt it. No doubt that he was hardened. But I imagine he was filled with dread and fear. There came a time in that morning that the Roman soldiers headed toward the prison of Barabbas. And perhaps Barabbas could hear the footsteps of the soldiers as they got closer and closer. And he knew the time had come. He would be crucified. They opened the prison doors. Barabbas, stand up. The shackles are removed. And again he knew the time of crucifixion had come. But instead, the guards say to him, Barabbas, you're free to go. You have received a full pardon. Barabbas, knowing that he was guilty of crimes, Barabbas, knowing that he had no merit to plead, is absolutely astonished. And what do you think he said? Well, I imagine he said, what? What do you mean I'm free? And I'm sure that they might have said, a man named Jesus is going to be crucified in your place. You're free to go. Oh, what a day it was for Barabbas. What a day for you and I that are saved. Remember that day when we saw by faith Jesus dying in our place. Oh, we heard the story thousands of times. But there came a day it became real. Jesus died in my place. And we were set free. We were released from that prison cell, from the darkness, and from the curse of a broken law, and from a life of sin. Why? Why me? Why you? Jesus. That's the reason. Jesus took my place. Jesus received from God the Father what my sins deserved. And I've been set free. Again, Jesus and Barabbas. Whether you're here, saved or unsaved, you are Barabbas. Jesus and Barabbas. This is a reminder of man's only hope. As a guilty and condemned sinner before God, facing impending doom, absolutely helpless and fully deserving of God's wrath. You've heard it thousands of times. Of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You've heard it over and over and over. But oh, that today you're here and unsaved, that you can see Jesus in your place. Don't just look at the crucifixion narrative, but see Jesus in your place. You're Barabbas. And Jesus is on that cross in your place, paying your sin debt. Can you see it? Is it real? Can you trust in such today? That is absolutely necessary for salvation. Trusting. Realizing I can't do anything to pay my sin debt. I am spiritually bankrupt. I cannot satisfy a righteous and holy God. But Jesus, God Himself, went to the cross in my place. Can you see that today, lost sinner? Will you trust it? Put your trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So if you're here and lost, you're Barabbas. You're the son, the daughter of your father Adam. And you'll do like them. You'll do like Adam. You and I are saved. We also see ourselves in Barabbas. We've been released. We've been set free. Not because of any good in us, because we're guilty, but because Jesus took our place. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.